If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Listening to Kaya Biz here on Kaya959. Feel free to share your questions, thoughts, and views with us here. 063-688-0959. We're always looking forward to hearing from you. Well, we build up on a conversation that we've been having perhaps for weeks on end. Every other week, we speak to the CEOs of big corporate companies, JSE-listed firms, to get an understanding of their organizational structure. You might recall, about 2 months ago, we spoke to Sean Summers, the CEO of Pick n Pay, who made it very clear that their new downscaling strategy is one that will result in positive growth for Pick n Pay going forward, and he says it's essentially necessary. Maybe you've also witnessed some downscaling in terms of Pick n Pay stores in your area, maybe even Virgin Active closing down in your local neighborhood. But essentially, these are all case studies for us to be aware of. What is it that retail property owners look for when it comes to the adapting environment in the retail sector in South Africa? In other words, what's encouraging you to go into a shopping mall or shopping center that property owners need to be aware of? John Jack, CEO of Galletti Corporate Real Estate, joins us now to tell us more. Such a pleasure to have you, John.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited for this conversation because the truth is there's so many moving parts, right, to the retail property space in South Africa. It's the right tenant mix. It's making sure that you have a heightened level of foot traffic. Dwell time is also something that's typically prioritized. But before we even get to those nuances, when you take a look at South Africa's retail space so far, coupled with the performance of its tenants, how would you assess it? What stands out for you?
Yeah, so I think at the moment, I mean, really, if you look at what's happening with some of the bigger guys, Pick n Pay, take them for example, you know, and this happens across the board. So it's just because there's so many Pick n Pays that maybe it's a little bit more noticeable and. But this happens across the board. It happens with underperforming petrol stations, gyms, anything that's causing a drag on the business. If you're sort of on top of your business, guys relook at them and they say, is this a focus area for us? Are we going to spend more capital to get this? Does it have the right target market for us, et cetera, et cetera? And so they either move in or out. But if I look at the sort of macro retail plan, as it were, mm-hmm. there's still a lot of development in the space. And people are actually creating more and more environments. So they're looking at the total environment. What is it like to be at this place as a place to get out of your normal day to day? And that you might think of that only as the sort of high end centers, right? Sandton City or any of these places. But actually it's not. It's the smaller stores as well, because you can imagine some of the home environments for people at the lower end of the sort of LSM scale, it's actually really nice to go to the shopping center. It's a nice place to go, you know? And so they are also looking at their environment. So there's still a lot of investment in retail.
Got you. So still a lot of investment in retail. Us as consumers clearly still want to go to retail shopping centers. But what's happening in terms of the background when it comes to tenants and their relationship with landlords? I understand, as you say, trying to make that experience a lot more pleasant comes with a lot more tough conversations that take place in the background between tenants and landlords.
Yeah. So what's interesting about a retail center, if you look at it, you need to have certain anchor tenants. So maybe you need a Pick n Pay and a Woolworths, or you need whatever that mix is, you've got to have those anchor tenants. And you can imagine those anchor tenants pay the lowest rentals.
Yes.
In fact, they could pay a quarter of what the smaller stores pay. Mm-hmm. But in order to drive the smaller stores, you need to have the bigger stores. So if you have a situation where you've got a double anchored property and one of the big anchors leaves, you can be in a situation where your smaller stores start underperforming and there's not enough foot traffic driving through. Because you can imagine at a Pick n Pay, for example, there are hundreds, if not thousands of people moving through these stores every day. And while they're there, they might just pop in at the ice cream shop and they might just pop in and, you know, there's a nice burnt store. Maybe I'll just have a little look at what's in the store. Maybe I'll go to the exclusive books. So now you can imagine your anchors disappear. That means that all that foot traffic disappears, which means someone has to specifically decide to drive there to get an ice cream. It doesn't happen. Mm. So you need these anchors that's why they call them anchors. They literally anchor the center. But if you don't have enough anchors, and if you look recently or more recently, some of the bigger anchors have actually shut down. And now you look at the situation in Pick n Pay going, okay, well, we're going to shut down some of our stores. Are there enough anchors actually in the shopping center to drive the foot traffic that drives the rest of the business?
100%. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you touch on that, because for anyone who goes to a shopping center, as you've mentioned, it's the usual suspects, grocery retailers, the pharmaceutical outlets that typically dominate the space as anchor tenants.
Yeah.
I'm keen just to piggyback on something you mentioned there, John, which I think is important for us just to get clarity on. I'm aware that for decades on end, the industry has there's been an uproar essentially raised at the lower rentals that anchor tenants would typically pay versus the mom and pop shops that you've mentioned. Have we found, I guess, some kind of median now in terms of that approach, or what's the industry trend and practice at the moment?
No. I mean, the big guys still command the best rentals. They do, and they drive for those rentals, because you remember in these businesses, they're operating on a sort of 2-3% profit margin.
Yeah.
Tiny. And often these profit margins actually come in the form of rebates from the supplier when they actually achieve certain levels of volume or whatever it might be. So that's what drives those businesses. So every little percentage needs to be looked at so carefully. So when you look at Pick and Pay re-optimizing where they're putting their stores, et cetera, retail's quite sort of finely tuned in. They might say, who is our target market? Is our target market this demographic or that demographic? And if it doesn't suit the demographic that they are situated in and it's not really driving their revenue, they say, you know what? Let's take that store back, and we're actually just going to focus on exactly the market that we need to focus on, and then rebuild the brand.
It's so interesting you say this, because I've seen a few Pick and Pay stores change to Boxer to meet the consumer needs in that environment. But also Virgin Active caught our attention earlier this week, right, with the store closures that they have in Midrand, parts of Soweto, and if I'm not mistaken, I think one store within the Western Cape. Your thoughts on that one? Because that's also a very nuanced model that many of us might not be privy to, but they also are operating on rather thin margins, if I'm not mistaken.
They are. But and another thing, as far as I'm aware, I was reading it today and I very quickly glanced through it, and I meant to actually go and read it before I jumped on this call with you, is my understanding is that Virgin is actually aiming to list that as a separate business. So when you're aiming to list your business, you want to be as profitable as possible. You don't need any drag whatsoever in order to achieve the best value for your business. So if anything is at a marginal, that needs to go, you know. And so they really strip these businesses out before they list them. So I need to read that in a little bit more detail. But if that is the case, that is what they are doing, no doubt.
Got you. This helps, John. To close off with, who's the winner in the end?
The winner in the end. I think, you know, you're going to get the consumers where Pick and Pay does decide to stay. They're going to get a much better product. And where it's not actually a core focus market, they were getting an average product anyway. So, you know, you go into somebody's Pick and Pay, you go, oh, this thing looks tired. You know, it's not, I'd rather go to the ShopRite. I'd rather go to the other business. So they're actually probably going to get some new interesting businesses stepping into that space. So always retailers are trying to maximize. They're trying to give the customers what they want because they want the customers to come to that store. And so you might find you get an improved experience. They might come up with some cool stores. We were away recently and we saw some of these marketplaces that, you know, have been developed, you know, internationally and here in Natal and in the waterfront, for example. And they have these beautiful big stores and lots of different small marketplaces that you can go and get more bespoke products and interesting food and that kind of thing. And you might find that going into these big spaces, and what a win. They're great.
Got you. Okay. Sounds like we as consumers still have some influence in terms of the outcomes. Well, definitely. If we're going to spend your money and spend time at the mall, you certainly want to make sure it's worth your while.
Awesome. Consumers got the power.
Definitely. John, such a pleasure speaking to you. Always appreciate the insight that you share with us. Thanks again for your time.
Thank you. Cheers.
Take care. That's John Jack, the CEO of Galletti Corporate Real Estate, helping us better unpack what we've seen with various retailers essentially strategically streamlining their businesses. What looks like just a random store closure to you and I, or flipping it into a different brand or different gym or different outcome, isn't just that.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.